Hey, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and I am here today to talk about OSHA RFI response, specifically contracting, oversight, and economics. But before we get into that, the first thing I want to do is thank Tower Safety for being a sponsor of mine. I really appreciate everything they do, and Tower Safety, where the best get better. They do the safety training for OSHA, for tower climbing, tower safety, and a lot more. It's where the best get better. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate you, Tower Safety. I really do. So Tower Safety, they're in Arizona. Like I said, you can't get there, they'll come to you. All right. So the other thing I want to do is thank the 929 people that responded on Wireless Estimator and the 29 people that responded on the RFI response directly to OSHA. So that's 958 people that responded as of May 28th, 2015. Less than 1,000 people in the wireless community responded to the OSHA RFI. Of course, I can't talk. You know, am I really qualified to respond? It's a big deal. I don't know. I'm so grateful that OSHA took the time to do this, to reach out to tower climbers to see how to improve tower safety. And I'm so disappointed that less than 1,000 people responded. I just can't believe it. I mean, it really amazes me. I guess maybe tower safety is not as important as I thought. I don't know. I'm just really disappointed. Anyways, congrats to all you guys that did it. Appreciate it. Thank you. I'm happy I'm not alone. If you want to download my response, it's in there. I got links to Wireless Estimator site, to the FCC site. Go crazy. Click on the links on wadeforwireless.com. So let's talk contracting and work oversight. I can't stop saying so. I wanted to go over what their questions were and basically my answers and help give an explanation. So it says, describe your role in the contract chain to the key safety-related provisions typically included in your contracts. How do contracting parties oversee or enforce those provisions? Currently, I help put together large offers, so I'm at the very beginning, what they call pre-sales. And we help put together the contracts ahead of time. Now, I don't do contracting. I put together the offer, say the tower work and things like that. And I also scope out like what say a bill of materials would be, what the scope of work would be and things like that. So where we are at the food chain is at the very beginning. Now, when I was doing tower work, as at the very end, I was a guy receiving it, usually from a contractor. And I think what the OSHA is trying to understand here is how many layers there are between the carrier, the turf vendor, the local GC, the project manager or whatever, and then the final guys doing the tower work. Because usually there's several layers in between there. Now, everyone wants to work direct for the carrier. Let me tell you something. The carrier is a challenge to work for sometimes. But if you can work for them, that's great because you get rid of all the middle layers of management. Carrier likes it because it's less margin. And usually the contractor likes it because they can do exactly what the customer wants and they don't have people in between just sucking up money. Now, if there's a project manager in between, you have to understand that the project does need to be PM'd. It does. That's just the way it is. So it's very important you understand that. So That's where I'm coming from there. I basically gave the answer. So they also say, what are the consequences if a party fails to fulfill those contractual requirements? Payment, really. They don't prevent the certification safety plans. They don't get to work. If they don't complete the work, they don't get paid. I mean, it's that simple. With that said, a lot of people do complete the work and don't get paid. But you have to complete it basically per the scope of work. And the next question is, what characteristics of past safety performance does your company use in selecting potential contractors and subcontractors? Obviously, we ask for all the certifications, but we also review the safety record as well. That does matter. It doesn't matter to everybody, but matters does. What's next question? What safety-related criteria does your company use in this selection process? If they don't have all their certifications up to date, they don't get hired. Black and white. If I was on the other end, I would expect the same thing. I had to present all my safety certifications. And if you ever done utility work, you got to present them as soon as you get in the site or prior to getting on the site. Then you have to prove ID to prove it's you that you're certified. Okay, the next section is, or the next question, are safety-related factors considered in determining whether to remove a contractor slash subcontractor from an ongoing project or from future selection process? If so, what specific factors are considered? And I say yes. Safety record and feedback from the end customer, landlord, tower owner, and the PM. In other words, if you get a complaint from any of these guys, you have to investigate it. The subs, employees, are usually very honest, and the feedback is also taken. If the feedback is very negative, then they are removed. In other words, if they don't have the proper safety certification or they're taking a lot of chances and that's your feedback, they have to be removed. So next question. What are the ways in which multi-level contracting environment, i.e. where entities such as a carrier, tower owner, turfing vendor, subcontractor, and contractors hired by the subcontractor all have the same role in the project, impacts employee safety at communication tower work sites? As margins are added, the price of the actual crew doing the work is very low. It takes money to provide training and PPE to employees. It also adds delays to the schedule because the work required passes through so many hands before it is getting to the company that does the work. Compressed schedules cause the installers to rush, increasing the chances of making mistakes. So there you have two things. You're paying the installers a lot less because you could have four or five different layers in there getting paid, sucking money out. And you also have the schedule being impacted. So when the schedule's impacted, that's a problem. Because now you have, let's say, turf vendor A, who's setting a schedule, and they go to the GC, who's a local GC in that area. Now he's going to take his time trying to get scheduled, and he's also got to hire some climbers. And then you have the climbers out there who are busy with other stuff. You know, they don't just live for this stuff and for one customer. Some do. They usually get burned by that. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. So you got to do the work as it comes. That's why mistakes are made a lot of times. Next question. What practices might companies in the contracting chain adopt to encourage communication and coordination among employers at tower work sites? What obstacles stand in the way of communication and coordination between different parties in the contracting chain? Many contractors are afraid to let the end customer or master contractor talk to the end worker. You know, you got both ends. They're trying to shield their assets. Sometimes the end customer doesn't know if they're hiring contractors or using their own people. And sometimes it's a mix. You know, you have too much work, you got to hire contractors. The obstacles are fear that other contractors will steal the subcontractors, which makes sense because then you're bypassing a layer of margin, you know, and then you can keep more money for yourself. So there needs to be a way to streamline the information from the end customer to the work crew. Then streamline the information from the field back to the end customer. It all comes down to program management. If you have a good PM, he's pretty open and pretty open with documentation and lets it flow both ways. But you have a lot of people to get protective, and it just creates a lot of problems. So next, economic issues. The agency seeks on the number and size of firms that are engaged in communication tower work and the number of employees employed by those firms. The companies I deal with are mostly 30 to 50 employee companies, if they're wondering about the size. The agency seeks information about wage and turnover rates for employees who work on communication towers. The agency is also interested in information about the expertise possessed by the workers currently doing communication tower work. Are they usually experienced in this type of work? Are there many new or inexperienced employees working at communication towers? I broke this into three things. Experience. From what I see, the experienced crews are doing the tower building and the structural upgrades. The tower crews doing antenna and line installations are usually the less qualified people. These crews are usually less experienced and paid less. There are many inexperienced crews doing cell deployments, and there will be again when the work picks up. Those kind of workers come and go, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's just the way it seems to work out. So payment for carrier deployments. I cover the next section as payment. For carrier deployments, they usually get paid from $15 to $30 an hour. Some guys make a lot more, up to $85 an hour, depending on experience and what they're doing. And generally, I have personally talked to many tower techs that have worked in the business for less than 2 years. They are just learning the job, and the issue is that they are often on a crew with the same experience level people, and that the structure is not the way we should have in the field. In other words, you want experience, you want one or two experienced guys on there leading one or two inexperienced guys so everyone can get up to speed in a timely manner. You know, that's the whole idea, like when unions set up the apprenticeship program, that's the whole idea of the apprenticeship program. Anyway, gives you an idea there. Next, what types of equipment are used in tower work and how often is the tower equipment repaired and or replaced? Oh, what types of equipment? Tools, winches, PPE, rope, cranes, vehicles. There's so much. I mean, buy my book. The next thing is it should all be maintained, repaired, and replaced as needed. When I say that, I guess I should have been a little more specific, but let's face it, you should maintain, depends on the equipment. Your PPE, you should check every day you use it. Your winch, you should check regularly, let's say once a month. I don't know how much you use it, but you should also check it prior to each use, especially a winch, any type of winch, even a little capstan, you should check before you use it just to see if anything's wrong. You know, you have your vehicle, you have so much, you know, and then you're going to repair it as it's needed. You're going to replace it, hopefully, when it's needed. Some people try to, you know, hold on to things because they don't want to spend the money. Anyway, next question. The agency seeks information from all employers in the contracting chain about the extent at which employees directly engaged in tower work are covered by workers' comp and or employer liability insurance policy. So I couldn't give specifics here. You know, the insurance in most of the companies I worked for were handled by like HR finance. And I don't know the best insight, so I passed on this. Maybe you got better insight. You tell me. All right. See you, everybody. Be smart. Be safe. Thank you, Tower Safety. Hubble Foundation has a new video out there. You should watch it. Watch it and give it a thumbs up. You know, let Dr. Hester know that you care about the fallen. Remember, we got to remember the fallen. And be smart, be safe, pay attention, and give me feedback on this. WadeForWireless.com. Let me know what you're thinking. I don't know if you don't tell me. And if you tell me on Facebook, it's hard for me to track that. So it's best if you tell me in the blog. It really is. Let me know in the blog. All right. Be smart, be safe, pay attention. And remember, safety is up to you first. It's a team effort, but you are the number one key to affecting the people and the work that you do. See ya.